Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking today about a subject matter that deals not with the mind, but also with aspects of life that so many people are timid to talk about. But once they are in a position where they feel safe and sound, and with people that are down to earth, it is a subject matter that almost everyone, in my many years of counseling, I find, has an interest in, but they're afraid of it because they don't understand it. What are we going to be talking about this afternoon? Well, it's going to be about messages, evidence for life after death. My guest is George E. Dalzell, and he has a fascinating story. George, I want to welcome you to my show.
Thank you, Donna. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's a delight. I want my audience to know something about you. You're a graduate of Northwestern University. You hold a master's degree in social work, and you're licensed by the Board of Behavioral Science Examiners in the state of California. You are employed by the Los Angeles County Department of Mental Health, as well as the Los Angeles Area Hospital. You write. And
Donna, actually, if I may, I've made a move since the biography that appears in the back of my book, Messages, and you're talking to me, and I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is my hometown, and I'm now licensed in California, and also the clinical social work license is with the state of Pennsylvania.
How fabulous. So you've been working both areas. You've been on a number of very famous shows. And you also have done speaking engagements before the British Society for Psychical Research in London. And you're a member, and I loved this, a member of the Skeptic Society. So I just think that that's so wonderful.
The only requirement for membership, Donna, is that you subscribe to Skeptic Magazine.
Okay, so for those of you listening, you want to be a part of the skeptical group. That's all that it takes. Now, you have a foreword that is done by Gary Schwartz, who is very well known and has done a great deal of writing and research regarding paranormal. In fact, he's a professor of psychology, medicine, neurology, psychiatry, and surgery, and a director of the Human Energy Systems Laboratory at the University of Arizona. This man has written so much. I know he's been a guest on my show regarding about scientific evidence of life after death. Your story, Messages, Evidence for Life After Death, is a very personal story. And what Gary says is that when one picks up your book, you're going to embark on a journey that celebrates life in a living energy universe. And I really liked that sentence. I liked this whole introduction to your book. How is it that someone with the kind of training and background that you have evolved into this experience? I know Michael is the center of the story, but were you ever curious? Had you ever had any other experiences prior to this with Michael?
Well, if I can just back up and say that that it was a loss that brought me as a social worker, as a therapist, to want to examine mediumship and after-death communication as a kind of intervention, as a way of trying to deal with depression and loss, not so much a discovery of, you know, scientific evidence of afterlife. I stumbled into that when I had actually met with some very talented mediums, mm-hmm. Which I've come to know quite a few mediums on the West Coast, some familiar names, James Van Praagh, Brian Hurst, Lori Campbell, Alison Dubois from the TV show Medium,
mm-hmm.
And some of these individuals I met through Gary. but I was brought to discuss Michael, who'd been just extremely close with me, Michael Keller, a German flight attendant with Lufthansa Airlines, who was killed in a car accident in June of 1996. And rather than turn off to the experience, Donna, of after there was some indication that weird things were going on, poltergeist-like activity, I was consulting mediums in California at that time, back in 1996, shortly after his death. And just to summarize it very quickly, other people had experiences with my friend Michael, the deceased, Michael Keller, but we didn't, each of us, none of us knew that the other had the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it became a kind of revelation that all of these other people had similar things happen after his physical death that indicated that he survived death, that his personality and spirit survived death.
Well, having had two experiences of my own and being involved in the work of mind for so many years as I have, this to me is a very comfortable subject. It's something that to me is, in my mind's view, very, very insightful. And that's what's wonderful about your book, because you write it from this personal experience side. Now, Michael was only 26 years old when he died.
He was 29.
Oh, 29. I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
29. How did he die? What happened?
In short, he was in an automobile accident on the Autobahn, and he wasn't actually in a car. He was, two cars hit him. He was actually on the side path of the Autobahn, and another person almost died in the accident as well. The incident, the event, got a lot of coverage with the press in all of Germany, and also in Frankfurt in particular. And so it was a kind of controversial, publicized death. So needless to say, for those of us who are extremely close with Michael and knew him, we were crestfallen, shocked, you know. But then out of this tragedy came this amazing series of events, which leads up to our speaking today, which is that his personality, his spirit, appeared to be able to make communications after death through mediums and without mediums with family, friends, and loved ones, and continues to this day.
It's always interesting how people will have unique experiences. And Michael's brother, Heiko, had one of his own. In fact, he was the first of the grouping of family and friends from what, this was on June 17th of 1996. Tell us what he experienced.
Heiko went, Michael's body hadn't been released because there was an extensive autopsy because in Germany this is part of the law. And Michael had been killed on June 10th, 1996, and so we're just going back to about 10 years, 11 years. And then his brother went to the site on the Autobahn and to see for himself, you know, it was very mysterious sort of death. Why was he there? How did this happen? Why didn't these drivers see him? And Heiko experienced a phenomenon. And what he experienced was he saw, had like an apparition appeared at the site where his brother died. It wasn't in the form of a person. It was in the form of, how he described it, rainbow lights that were dancing above the site, moving, oscillating back and forth over the site where Michael had been killed, where his physical death had taken place. And then he looked away and thought that this was some kind of an optical illusion. He looked back, and there were the lights. You know, it wasn't an illusion. And he was emphatic about it. You know, all of his family and friends were very practical people, and they're very cut and dry. The Germans, very black and white, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that started, anecdotal evidence began to build, Donna, at that point. We went from one thing to another, as I describe it in my book, Messages, that led to my investigating mediums to test them, to see whether they could bring Michael through. That's what I describe in the chronology of my book.
Right. Something I want to touch on is that you had a very special experience in 1993, and it was regarding one of your favorite aunts. Her name was Alice Wilson.
That's true, and I get goose pimples when you talk about it because it's. I remember it. When you experience, or my experience, Donna, is these spiritual experiences outside of the context of organized religion, spiritual experiences that we have that are direct and spontaneous, they're like no time has passed. I remember it like it was yesterday. And it was Alice, was also from Pittsburgh, where I am, where I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Alice and I, this really started the whole adventure that is a true story in the book Messages, that she and I had made a pact before she passed away that if whoever died first would make it come true and try and communicate to the other. And she was a beloved aunt. I mean, I loved her unconditionally. It was mutual. It was a great love, and when she passed in 1987, it was a great loss. In 1993, you asked me about what was the incident that happened in 1993. What happened was I was driving behind someone who appeared to be like a drunk driver, and it was in the course of getting my master's in social work in Miami, Florida. I've been all over the place with these cities. But at any rate, this person in front of me was veering in and out of the lanes, and it was just the two of us, or so it seemed. And so I decided to try to pass him because I thought this would be a dangerous life and death potential, accident. And I heard Alice's voice, as plain as day, say, quote, "Pull over to the left-hand side of the road immediately. If you don't, there's going to be a terrible accident. Do it." And so I followed those instructions without questioning them, because they were coming from someone that had been so close. And what happened on it was so fascinating, was that the left-hand side of the road, imagine that I'm driving north on I-95, the left-hand side of the road was a cement a divider. So there, I was like, well, where should I go? And I looked, and there was construction, and there was one tiny cul-de-sac to my left immediately in front of me, just as I had this experience. I slammed on the brakes, pulled into the cul-de-sac, and the drunken driver pulled into my lane. Another car got into a debacle with them, and they both started doing 360s, and the whole highway became, filled with burnt rubber and smoke and whatnot. And I was spared being in an accident.
It's amazing how those things will happen, how there will be those particular personal incidences, and I've had so many of them in my life. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I know my audience, many of the people listening, know what you're talking about.
Donna, can I comment on that one second?
Sure.
Because I've grown and evolved. The book was released several years ago, and a lot of people probably have a question, perhaps you do, and I love to address that now that I have the opportunity to do it with you and with your listeners and your audience. Anyone might wonder, well, why does one person get spared and not another?
Mm-hmm.
Why in a mining accident in West Virginia did one miner make it and all the others didn't? What was going on wrong with them, and if people were praying for them and so on? And all I can tell you is that my response to that is I think that it is as simple, it may be as simple as I asked to have after-death communication with my aunt. We gave each other permission to make this communication. I believe she made the communication and helped save my life. So in contrast to like a Judeo-Christian theology where you have people praying to a deity, I'm not praying to, but I'm communicating with loved ones in my family in spirit. And this, I believe, is what makes mediumship possible. And then furthermore, what's the difference between a good spirit and a bad spirit? Always a question that comes up in this context. Well, if the experience is therapeutic and you grow from that experience and you survive, if you aren't in a car accident, I presume that you know, that was a good spirit. And furthermore, I wouldn't judge. I would just say, well, that was Alice. That was Alice Wilson, my aunt, who saved me.
Mm-hmm. I think there are so many different levels of expression and so many various experiences that people can have. The biggest challenge, I believe, for most individuals is they have no one to talk to about it. Or when they do find someone they can talk to, they're hesitant because they don't want to be considered nuts. And they're not. These are experiences that are meant to make us aware that life is more than what we consciously are able to perceive. There's a lot that goes on, and there is an intricacy that is just phenomenal. Let's move on a little bit to about June 28th in 96, and you were going to fly to Germany, and you were in a situation where you were frequently praying for Michael's family, who, by the way, there's a very special story related to them, and for Michael as well. How did you find that you were able to make it over to Frankfurt? Because I think the story is just wonderful.
When you say make it over to Frankfurt, well, I flew.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did was I just had to go, you know. Anyway, and actually, I'd missed the first funeral service because I found out after the fact, because I had just moved to Los Angeles, and they didn't have phone contact. They didn't have telephones for me. And I had just gotten settled, just rented an apartment, and got this news because I called Michael's flat in Frankfurt, called his apartment. But and that's when I discovered that he had passed. And but the point is, when I made phone calls to Germany, the people, family, started relating these experiences. And then I thought, you know, I just had this odd feeling. I can't describe it, Donna, because I've known quite a few people who've died, quite a
mm-hmm.
few.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt his presence is the only way I can describe it. And so I opened myself up, and basically it was at that point that I would say, I opened up to becoming a developing medium.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually not only consulted mediums in order to make communications, which I relayed back to Michael's family when I got to Germany and subsequently, but I also got messages of my own, preliminary messages, nothing earth-shattering. But as you see, Donna, since you've read my book,
mm-hmm.
The experience continued to grow and grow and grow. The messages became more uncommon, more dramatic, more more evidential, and evidential of a kind of, I'll say, of a Michael in the afterlife who could travel through time and space, let's say, very quickly,
mm-hmm.
or retrieve information like you or I would go on the internet and download a file. And this extraordinary ability to communicate things that I wasn't aware of through mediums. That's basically what I describe, and the whole book takes you through the 1 year from the time of Michael's passing through having received confirmation of this highly talented mediums in Los Angeles related to James Van Praagh. That basically convinced me and his family that he had survived the accident, that he continued his spirit had survived physical death. And then, of course, the next assumption, well, if he can survive physical death and my aunt can communicate with me, then the fact is perhaps it's part of our evolution, and we all survive physical death, and we likely gravitate toward family members who are deceased that are in the next world, become acclimated to being with them. And when people, you talked earlier about people being frightened, I think, well, geez, you know, better to deal with this subject and come to terms with it before you're in a crisis. And you as a psychic and counselor yourself, and through your radio show, you're serving to help normalize this for your audience and for the individuals whom you counsel. And through my website, I also do consultations with people where I try to continue. I do mediumship readings for people who've lost a significant loved one in order to try to help them cut through that bereavement and feelings of depression and sadness. Because there's a joy to seeing the bigger picture, which doesn't exclude any particular organized religion. It just basically cuts to the chase and says, okay, we've got man living people, we've got a spirit world, we've got a three-dimensional world, you know, we've got here, we've got there, but we can bridge that gap. We can communicate.
I know that any culture, any group of people I've encountered over the years that I've been doing this work, this is always something they're very comfortable with if they understand what it is. And I find it fascinating how various groups and organizations try to suppress it throughout history. There's been periods when it's been very comfortable, very easy to talk about, very accepting within certain cultural environments. And then we go through what I call dark ages, where it's like, no, we don't do this, it's bad stuff. Fortunately, I think there is an openness that is happening because of the communication capabilities between people. And you've mentioned my show, and there's other shows that have been done. I think the more that this can be discussed in a down-to-earth manner with understanding and with a reality that this is meant to be helpful. We hear a lot about some people having very negative experiences, but that's really in the minority. It's not in the majority of experiences. And most people, just like you've said, after they've gone through certain experiences, there is a sense of joy that they have. Because if they've lost a loved one, maybe there's been devastating situations, just like it was with your friend Michael, things come out, and often those that pass over will let you know they're happy. They let you know that things are all right. And if things aren't, they usually try to get them straightened out. And that was something with Michael when he communicated with you. It was there was information about his friend and companion, Marcus, that he gave.
Yes.
There was the friend, Ula, that had some fascinating experiences.
She had a visual, which is not an experience, Donna. I don't know what if you've had this experience, or, you know, a materialization that somebody. Ruth, I met Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, you know, who wrote On Death and Dying and established the whole kind of Likert scale of bereavement and what we go through the stages of dealing with loss but she also had Elizabeth Kubler-Ross saw materialization, but Ula. Sought me out when I got to Germany back in that first trip to go to the post-funeral service to meet with the family. And she sought me out as a stranger. I hadn't known her. And for some reason she said, look, I know you and Michael were so very close. I've got to tell you the story because you won't believe it. And then here again, it was one of these. She had no one to talk to, Donna. And I was it gives me goose pimples to this day. Because I just sat in the car because I just had this tremendous hunch that I was onto something.
Mm-hmm.
And it just basically, and she described that Michael appeared in her kitchen after he physically died. She said that she heard the sound of buzzing of bees. This was how her after-death communication experience. Everyone's on a different learning curve in terms of their evolution and their growth, I observe. But that's what she could handle. I don't know about you, but I've never had a full on materialization and also in the book, Donna, I try to address what's the difference between something that's pathological or like a mental illness experience, this hallucination, and a spiritual experience. And it's that area where you said we go to dark ages and go in and out. And I think that it takes us all time in this dimension to acclimate and become comfortable with our own evolution and growth towards the spiritual, away from the spiritual. I believe that my observations show that when we talk about eternity, we're already in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of it, you know.
Well, Michael has done an incredible job at communicating with different people, and one of the points that you bring out in your book, you have so many wonderful stories about the family and the various individuals, but there was a statement that you made about a book called In Pursuit of Physical Mediumship, and Robin Foy, I believe, was the author of that, and he said, physical phenomena is very rare in the world today. And there was a group called the Skoll Group.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
And tell us a little bit about the Skoll Group, because what he says is true, and I think my personal positioning on it is we live in a world that has so much technology in it that it supersedes the physical phenomena. Not that it doesn't happen, but often I don't think people recognize it when it does, because
I agree. In other words, if I'm experiencing, if I'm having a direct spiritual experience that's, you know, as I described with the Skoll Group who are physical mediums, versus Hollywood special effects, especially a young person that's on an Xbox or something like this, that can travel into these kind of cyber technological worlds that are being created through software and hardware, that having a spiritual experience, you could easily overlook it. That's why I make a point in the book of, I end the book with a kind of how-to. I end messages with, here's how to do it. And there's going to be further discourse, by the way, Donna, at my website in the weeks to come. I'm going to add a blog where I discuss some of these aspects for people who are interested in continuing with this journey and going in this direction in a way that helps normalize these experiences for them. But one moment, you mentioned the Skoll Group, and they were physical mediums. Physical medium is versus a mental medium. Physical medium is extremely rare individual that can actually bring about physical phenomena. The days of Harry Houdini, you know, these were seances and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is updated and doesn't necessarily have to take place in a full blacked out situation, which of course invites skepticism, speaking of the Skeptic Society. And I was skeptical, you know, but after meeting with the Skoll Group, now disbanded, and sitting with them in Reseda, California, that was in the year after Michael died. The things that I experienced, which I describe in the book, in that particular session, were a once in a lifetime situation. I think
They typically were for many people that I know that it's gone through them. My guest today has been George E. Dalzell. And he has a website that you can go to, and it's georgedalzell.com. So let me spell his last name. It's D-A-L-Z like zebra, E-L-L. That's georgedalzell.com. His book is Messages, Evidence for Life After Death. And it is a fascinating read, because not only does he describe his personal experiences, but he has been given permission to describe the experiences of friends and family, and this is centered around his friend Michael, but there's other information that he has there as well, and all kinds of scientific information and contact information if you wanted to find out more. Maybe you're interested in developing your own intuitive abilities yourself. Well, there are some very good recommendations that he makes in there, including a study group, I believe it's in Arizona. So all of that is available to you through George Dalzell's book, Messages, Evidence for Life After Death. And James von Prague says it's a wonderful journey of one man's enlightened exploration of the spiritual world. George,
thank you, Donna.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Donna. I'm so grateful. I love to be able to talk to you and to your listeners. Thank you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a minute. Don't you go away. Don't forget, George Dalzell, DALZELL.com. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here are the toll-free numbers to call in to: 877-876-5227 in the U.S. of A. Canadians, 888-815-9756. And direct line, 530-876-3222. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I love to know where you're calling in from. And that's all you need to do. And just let me do the rest. And then when I'm finished chatting with you, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you're interested in having information on. Remember, I'm a good information resource, and I'm delighted to share this with you. And also, don't forget, the second week of the wonderful Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair is coming about. Oh, this is so much fun. I always have such a great time when I'm out there, and this is like my sixth year of being involved with them. And the hours for this wonderful event, it's for family. It's, you can bring friends, relatives, neighbors, drag them all in. It's just great. You just have a blast because it's unlike anything you would expect to experience unless you've attended a Renaissance Fair before. But there's so much going on. Not only are you going to have good eats, but you're going to have fabulous entertainment. The kids are going to have so much to do. They have face painting. They have costume rental for all ages. There's Highland dancers. There's chess, live chess composition. And, oh, if you love archery, there's booths that have phenomenal information on archery and tools of archery themselves. It's just absolutely wonderful. And the knights in shining armor, they do exist. And it's more fun to see the kids when they watch the knights in their magnificent iron outfits or, you know, steel outfits walking around. It's incredible. It is so much fun. And the hours again are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's coming up. This is the second weekend coming up, and it is at the Mentor Creek Ranch, 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. I'm on Main Street. After you come through the castle gates, turn to your right, come on down Main Street, and where you see the big golden banners with the bright red lions, huge red lions, you'll know that's where I am. And I'm going to be sitting there giving consultations, mini consultations to people, but stop by and say hello. I'd love to meet you, and it's so much fun when people do come by and we have a chance to chat. I'll also have some books there and be interacting in other ways. But it's a delightful experience. The Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, the second weekend, is coming up. You don't want to miss it. And people fly in from all over the country, too. Well, let me let you know about the guests that we're going to be having on for the rest of this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Dr. Graveline, who is a former space astronaut We're going to be talking about statin drugs, the side effects of statin drugs. This is a doctor who has not only had personal experience with them, but he has researched a great deal. That is his background and experience. So we're going to be talking with him and finding out some fascinating information. You're not going to want to miss that. And then we're going to end the week with talking about how not to settle for mediocrity. Settle only for excellence. Topher Morrison is going to be my guest on Friday, and it is going to be a joy. After all, if we don't have standards for ourselves, if we don't have that expectation of excellence, how can we expect the younger generation to have it? We, as mature adults, we must set the pace. We must set the example. And so I think we are going to find out some good information. So that's the lineup for the rest of the week. Give me a call if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also a direct line of 530-876-3222. Don't forget my newsletter, which came out, gives you all the information you'll want to know about upcoming appearances. I'm going to be in San Francisco the September 14th and 15th. There will be more details coming up in my September newsletter, and I will be starting as of the 15th of this month to give more information about that because I'll have more details available to me. I'll be speaking in San Francisco. And also, I'm going to be in Alaska in October. So for those of you who are listening that are in Alaska, I will be up there during that month. And it's just a lot of stuff going on. No grass or moss grows under this gal's feet. No way. Speaking of staying busy and really being interested in life, there's a gentleman by the name of Andy Powers. He's in New York. This guy has a passion for fishing. He said he grew up in the Bronx, and his entire family, that was one of their hobbies. He said it just absolutely was marvelous. It helped to relieve stress. He said it was the type of thing that, as a hobby, it enabled you to forget your troubles. And he said you'd just be out there on the water and fishing, whether you caught something or not, no biggie. You just really enjoyed your time out there. Well, as he grew up and became an adult, that stayed a passion of his. And he happened to read about a group in New Jersey that had organized Take a Vet Fishing. It was a special day, and he thought, hey, I like the sound of that. So he figured it was a perfect opportunity to give back to the men and women who have served our country so sincerely and well. So he had his own boat, and he decided, I'm going to get this up to par. And he contacted his local paper and placed an ad urging other people who loved to fish to take veterans and active duty military personnel out on the water, do some fishing. So he launched a website that's called takeavetfishing.org, takeavetfishing.org, to connect vets with boat owners. And one of them was a Captain Anthony W. Rena of Point Pleasant Beach in New Jersey, and he runs a charter fishing boat fleet, and he was in touch with Andy and said, I'm enlisted in the Coast Guard Reserve, so I understand the pressures. Wow, this is really a good idea. It's the least I can do. So Captain Anthony signed up to take vets out fishing on his boats, and the name of his boats are the Angela Rose and the Angela Rose 2, and he does it for all the vets for free of charge. And I think that Andy Powers started something, it's really a great idea. So wherever you are in the country, if you're an avid fisher person, or if you know of someone who is, wouldn't it be a great idea just to share that with somebody? So there's the website again, takeavetfishing.org, takeavetfishing.org. Just keep it in mind. If you have anybody you know that might benefit from that, it's a great idea. I just love how people will come up with concepts and we'll just go with them, not really expecting very much to evolve, but they come from their heart. They come from that sincere positioning of really wanting to bring a benefit into someone else's life. And it's their joy to do it. And I think if we can keep that in mind about ourselves, what is it that you like to do? Maybe you like baking pecan pies. Maybe you like raising iris. whatever it might be. Maybe you love carpentry, or maybe you enjoy painting, stenciling. If you have something that really brings you a lot of pleasure, and you can in turn share it with someone else, you're going to definitely have an effect in this life. And maybe you're not going to affect hundreds of thousands of people, but is that so important? Isn't it more important to deal with maybe one person at a time and to have the joy in dealing with that person at that time? I think it's significant. So it always is something I like to share with you, how other people do their concepts and ideas making a difference in this world. One person can make a phenomenal difference, whether it's in one life or in the lives of millions. Never forget that. You're significant. You're important. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone lines are open, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. 530 is our other direct line of 876-3222. I don't know about you, but I love chicken. And I especially, in fast food restaurants, I love chicken nuggets or chicken tenders. It's one of my favorite foods. Well, I know I shouldn't have too much of the stuff that's deep fried in some of these fast food restaurants. And I don't have it all that often, but there's just something about them. I think it's the crust on it. It just tastes so good. Well, I came across this recipe that really is absolutely wonderful. And I thought I would share it with you because it is a healthy recipe for chicken nuggets. Again, one of my favorite foods. And it's something that you can really, really fix easily, and you don't have to use a whole bunch of oil. In fact, it only takes a tablespoon of olive oil. So I'm going to share this with you after the break, so it gives you a chance to get a pad of paper and a pen. In the meantime, I want to share with you how one mother decided she was going to get some good stuff into her kids' food, but she wanted to sneak it in. You know how finicky kids can get at times. They'll look at something and have an opinion, even though they've never tasted it, and they'll say, ugh, don't want that. Well, she got tired. This was a mom. Her name is Jessica Seinfeld, and I just totally empathize with her. She was so sick and tired of begging her three kids to eat their veggies that she decided she was going to figure out a way she could do it without them knowing she was doing it. That sounds like a mom tactic, 100%. So she said there was an evening, I mean, she had a baby as well as two other growing kids, and she was pureeing butternut squash for the baby, and she decided she was going to stir some of that pureed butternut squash into the mac and cheese that she was fixing for other kids. Macaroni and cheese is one of the favorites of just about any batch of kids I've ever known. And she said you couldn't see the squash. The texture was perfect, so she stirred in more, and she gave it to them, and they loved it. If she had tried to serve that squash separately, they would have gone, ew, squash, don't want it. She put it into something they really liked. Nobody had any leftovers on their plate. So now what does she do? She hides sweet potatoes in pancakes, cauliflowers in potatoes, and spinach in pizza. And this is how she does it. If she wants to add beets, now, she said you need to make sure you use your food processor or blender to puree. And you want to, you know, your beets, you can wrap them unpeeled, fresh beets, in aluminum foil and roast at 400 degrees for about an hour. Or peel, quarter, and steam for 45 to 50 minutes so that they're tender. Broccoli, you can cut into florets, steam 6 to 7 minutes, and add a couple of tablespoons of water to the blender or food processor if needed to add smoother texture. Cauliflower, she steams that, purees it with a couple of tablespoons of water. And baby spinach, you hardly have to do anything to that, but she said you just need about a minute for that to wilt. It steams in about 30 seconds, or if you want to use it in a skillet, just add a tablespoon of water to it, and it goes down to nothing. And a sweet potato, cut the unpeeled potatoes into quarters and steam 40 to 45 minutes, or roast whole potatoes at 400 degrees for 50 to 60 minutes. And then you scoop the flesh out of the skin, and it's ready to go. Let me tell you, all you have to do is figure out how to get it into something, and the kids will eat it. If it's mixed in with whatever, they're so busy, they're so active, and they will just scarf it down. It's amazing. So this is a mom that got pretty wise and figured out an alternative with her kids. So anybody can do the same thing. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Donna Sebo, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
That inspirational and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Okay, I told you, let me give out the phone number if you want to call in and chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also our direct line of 530-876-3222. Okay. Here's the recipe for healthy, healthy chicken nuggets. Good stuff. Now, what you're going to need is one cup of whole wheat, white, or panko breadcrumbs. So whatever you like for breadcrumbs, I guess that's how I would summarize it. You need 1 cup of breadcrumbs. You need 1/2 cup of flaxseed meal. 1/2 cup of flaxseed meal. If you don't have flaxseed meal, if you have flaxseed, just put them in your Cuisinart or in a grinder. If you have a coffee grinder and you need to clean it, put soft bread in the coffee grinder and then allow the grinder to clean it out for you, dump that out, and then you can do your flax seeds. Your flax seeds won't taste like coffee. And you can grind them up in just seconds. And then, again, that's 1/2 cup of flaxseed meal. You need 1 tablespoon of grated Parmesan, 1 tablespoon of grated Parmesan. You need 1/2 teaspoon of each of these spices. Paprika, garlic powder, and onion powder. You need 1/2 teaspoon of each. You need 1 cup of broccoli, spinach, sweet potato, or beet puree. That's what you can use. 1 cup of broccoli, spinach, sweet potato, or beet puree. You're going to need 1 large egg, lightly beaten. 1 large egg, lightly beaten. 1 pound of boneless, skinless chicken breast or chicken tenders, which is the same thing. And you want to make sure they're dried. You want to put them on paper towels so that they're nice and dry. You want to cut them into small chunks. 1/2 teaspoon of salt, nonstick cooking spray, and 1 tablespoon of olive oil. This is how simple it is. You want to lay a large sheet of wax paper or aluminum foil on the counter, and you want to mix your first 6 ingredients on the paper or foil and mix it well with your fingers. Or just put it in the bowl if you want. Now, in a shallow bowl, you mix your puree and egg with a fork or set the bowl next to the chicken or the breadcrumb mixture. You sprinkle your chicken with salt. You dip your chunks into the egg mixture. Toss in the breadcrumbs until coated. I'd recommend using a plastic bag. I'm a real fan of that when you're coating something. And then you have a large nonstick skillet with cooking spray that you just lightly coat it with. Heat it over a medium-high burner. When the skillet is hot, add the tablespoon of olive oil. Place your chicken nuggets in the skillet in a single layer. You want to be sure you don't crowd the pan. And cook until crisp and golden on one side, 3 to 4 minutes, and turn and cook until chicken is cooked through. true, golden brown and crisp all over, 4 to 5 minutes longer. And, of course, you can cut into a peach chicken to make sure that it's cooked through. But it is just so good. And anything that's nice and crunchy, it is really great. And let me tell you a recipe that you can use. This is so easy. And you can do it with potatoes. And I did it for a large party that I had a short time ago. I fixed 10 pounds of potatoes. And what you do, you take a potato. This is a 2-pound recipe. And if you have 2 pounds of potatoes, of course, you scrub your potatoes. And then what you want to do is cut them into chunks. So I slice them up into chunks. And then what you do, you just put them on a paper towel and just let them dry out a little bit while you get your a third of a cup of olive oil, a third of a cup of olive oil, and then you want to have dried onion soup mix. Now, I like to have a lot of seasoning, so I'll add extra pepper, I'll add extra garlic, and I'll add a little bit of extra salt. It all depends on your taste. But what you do is, if you're smart, you take the potatoes, and if you have a gallon bag, that 2 pounds of potatoes should fit in that gallon bag easily, and then you put the onion soup over it. If you want to add more spices, do it. Try it maybe once without adding anything extra to see what suits your taste. And then you add a third of a cup of the oil. Now, the oil, excuse me, I made a mistake. The oil comes first. You put the oil in the bag with the plastic bag with the potatoes and shake it around, and then all of the potato is covered with the oil. And then you sprinkle the spices over it. Now, if you don't want to do it inside of a plastic bag, you can do it in the pan that you're going to bake the potatoes in. And you just mix the whole stuff together, put it in the oven at 400 degrees, and you can bake that for, it depends on how your oven works, how efficient it is, but if for me, it could take 45 minutes. I know you could do it in a half hour, but if you're opening and stirring the potatoes so that they will have the opportunity to roast on more than one side of the pieces there, then you might want to make it 45 minutes. My oven, I found I put it in there for an hour because I liked it really extra crispy. It is so good. It was a smashing success at my party, and I think it could be a smashing success at yours. Well, this is Donna Siebel. I know we're almost out of time, so I just want to remind you, tomorrow our guest is going to be Dr. Graveline, and we're going to be talking about statin drugs and their side effects. And this is a former space astronaut that we're going to be having as a guest, so I think you will really enjoy it. There is a special about 11-year-old Zlata Filipovic. Now, this is her true story. And she kept a diary about her life in 1991. And this is what she said. She said, "We gave ourselves a treat today." This was a July day. She said, "We picked the cherries off the tree in the yard and ate them all up. We had watched it blossom, and its small green fruit slowly turned red, and now we were eating them. Oh, you're such a wonderful cherry tree." Now, these words were very much like any other young girl's, well, musings and thoughts. But this innocent summer she was relating to held much deeper meaning. Zlata wrote the diary entry in the midst of war in her hometown of Sarajevo. She said, "I missed fruit a lot, and in those days of war in Sarajevo, there's no basic food or any of the other things a person needs, and there's no fruit. But now I can say that I ate myself silly on cherries." The simple pleasure of that experience brought her a lot of joy because she saw brutality on a daily basis. And Zlata said, "Simple pleasures can do that if we take the time to appreciate what the moment offers." And I'd like to think that you can do the same thing. Appreciate what the moment of now offers you, because it is what is most important. This is where you live. This is what you're experiencing. And this is what makes your future, is the way you work with the now. This is Donna Siebel here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow, and we're going to have a great day. I know you can, too. Bye for now.
Big Shed Cupcake.